Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Scott Traylor, along with Kirk Elliott. We're the Racing Boys. We've got a big show lined up for you today. We've got a lot to talk about and a lot of interviews that we're going to play today. We're going to have Trenton Barry on, Johnny Allen, Tom Barry Jr., and we're going to play a little video that Trenton Barry did with Terry Phillips, who announced that he is no longer going to be driving late models. Kirk, were you surprised to hear that?
I'm really not. He's involved now in building modified race cars now. So he's a busy guy with the Bloodline race cars, and so he's all in. He announced in Victory Circle the other night when he won the prelim down at the King of America on Thursday night that he just sold his last late model stuff that day. So
right.
He is officially out of late model racing. He had a lot of history driving a late model. But
He's had a lot of success in a late model.
His biggest win in a late model, I would say, the 99 Show Me 100 down at West Plains.
Right.
He'd won a lot of big races throughout his career, but that one sticks out as probably his biggest win.
I think Terry, he talked about it in detail about how expensive late model racing has become.
Modified racing's gotten expensive, too.
Well, it's not as expensive as late model racing, though.
Yeah, late models.
And he felt like he was getting a little bit behind in the late model racing a little bit. He wasn't able to keep up with the Joneses. And he just decided that he's not going to do it anymore, and he's going to run for the USMTS championship.
Well, you know, part of the reason felt he got behind is he didn't run a late model all that much. He, more and more over the last few years, he'd run modified races, and he just brought the late model out on rare occasions. So it's hard to keep up when you don't really race it all
that
much.
Run full time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
But here's a guy that, you know, we talked about. He won that 99 Show Me 100. Another big win he'd like to get and never has had is the King of America, and that's tonight down at Humboldt Speedway. And right now you'd have to say he's the favorite going in after the way he ran on Thursday night.
Yeah, he picked up the win on Thursday night. Pretty dominating win, wasn't it, wouldn't you say?
He led all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was pretty good action for second. We had three guys battling it out for a second, but Terry Phillips was head and shoulders above everybody else. You wondered through lap traffic as the laps ticked away in that race the other night whether lap traffic would come into play, but there was a yellow flag that came out with about a half a dozen laps to go, and that opened things up to the checkered flag after that. So
right.
He wasn't going to be challenged once that last yellow flag came out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'm still a little set back that Terry Phillips, you know, his dad was such a great late model racer. And it almost is mind-boggling for him to give up late model racing because his dad was such an exceptional late model racer.
Well, especially on pavement.
Yeah.
Larry the Legend was especially a great pavement racer, but he was also good on dirt.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Terry didn't run, I don't know if he ever ran a pavement race. Did he?
I'm not sure if he ever did or not. Not totally sure on that.
He might have dabbled at it a couple of times with his dad's equipment, but he didn't run pavement races.
He might have ran down at I-44.
He might have.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're going to try to get Terry Phillips on Monday show if we can.
Yep, we're going to try to get him on Mostly Motorsports on Monday. Again, that show airs Monday, 12 noon Central Time on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. So, again, we're going to try to get him on Monday and talk about it.
He may be talking about a win. $12,000 prize from tonight, but it's not going to be easy because there's some other heavy hitters that showed up down at Humboldt this weekend. Former King of America winner Ryan Gustin is one of them that showed up for the weekend. He ran third the other night.
Right, no doubt. Would Terry Phillips be the odds-on favorite to win?
I think so, based on how everybody ran the other night. But guess who else shows up is Ricky Thornton Jr., who won this race here a few years ago. He's also off this weekend driving his late model, and he decided to show up. He was supposed to race last night, but they got rained out. But he'll be there tonight. So they're not going to make up last night's show. They're just going to run one show tonight, which is probably a wise decision. It's still a little bit on the wet side down there, so they need the extra time to get
sorry.
The track prepared for the big show tonight.
I feel sorry for Racing Dirt. They didn't get that show in last night.
Yeah, right? But you can understand why they made the decision they made. There's rain back in the forecast tomorrow, so I think focusing on the big show tonight, getting the track, you know, in good shape for one show with the weather forecast calling for rain later on tonight into tomorrow. You don't want to play around. Just focus in on the main deal. Try to get it in.
After two races right now, Jake Timm is the point leader in the USMTS points. Jason Hughes is second. Dan Ebert is third. Tom Barry Jr., who we're going to talk to here in just a little bit, he is currently fourth in points. Terry Phillips is eighth in points, Kurt.
And, you know, we're just getting started. We had just, what, two nights of racing so far down at Rocket Raceway Park, where Tom Barry Jr. won the season opener. He's going for Rookie of the Year this year, and Jake Timm, night two. So we're just getting started with the points, as we've only got two races completed.
Yeah. Last night, Kirk, Buddy Kofoid picks up the World of Outlaw win at Talladega Short Track. What'd you think about that race?
Impressive drive for Buddy Kofoid.
Oh, no doubt.
Here's a kid that, you know, hadn't had all that many starts in World of Outlaw racing. But if you look at the six races that he's run so far this year.
Second World of Outlaw win.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He won last year up at Husetts. I believe it was.
Right.
So six starts this year, six top 10 finishes, and three times on the podium, including the one win. That's pretty impressive. And last night, what made his drive really impressive, yes, he started on the front row, had a big advantage.
He had to outrun Brad Sweet last night.
And he had to change his lines to keep Brad Sweet at bay.
He moved all over the track.
Right.
Right.
Because I think it was 1 and 2 where Brad Sweet was running better than Kofoid.
Right.
Kofoid a little better out of 3 and 4, but he had to change his lines to hold off the 4-time defending champion. So that and working the lap traffic, which became a factor last night. There were still several cautions last night, and that's the other thing that Kofoid did pretty well is on the restarts.
Right.
Which is not easy.
Double file restarts. And how about old Carson Macedo last night?
Spun out, didn't he?
No, he came from 12th up to 9th last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one time he looped around around in turn number 3. So he had to rally back from that.
Right. He had to come back from the back. A lot of good cars down there last night at Talladega Short Track. Have you ever been to that racetrack, Kurt?
Never have. Hmm. That's pretty close to Talladega Super Speedway, I assume.
Just across the street.
You been there?
Nope, I haven't.
They call it East of Boga, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess that's its own town there at the Talladega Short Track. They don't say East of Boga, Alabama for the big speedway.
Right, no doubt.
Even though it's just right across the highway there.
Spencer Baston ended up on the podium. He ended up starting 5th and ran 3rd last night.
Good run for him.
Yeah. Donnie Schatz, he ended up coming from 8th up to 5th. You know what? There was one point last night that I thought Donnie Schatz was going to make a run towards the front. Did you?
Yeah. He had a fast race car last night. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Yeah, he ended up in fifth after starting in eighth place last night.
That's just what I said.
So, yeah, it, Schatz says with that Ford power is it's going to be interesting to see just over the long haul how he's going to do in that 15 car with that Ford power. Here's a guy that's won 10 World of Outlaw championships, but he's not won a championship in 5 years because Brad Sweet's won the last four. That is Donnie Schatz. We still see him do his thing at Knoxville every year. He's not finished right outside the top two at the Knoxville Nationals for all these many years, but out on the tour, championship caliber, is he a guy that over the long haul can reemerge as the challenger for the championship?
I believe so. I believe this is the year that Donnie Schatz is going to make a run for the championship. He's currently eighth in the points right now. He's 94 points out of the lead. David Gravel is the current point leader. He has got a 22-point lead over Carson Macedo. Logan Shewhart is 34 points behind. Brad Sweet is 36 points behind. But the thing about Brad Sweet is, just like last night, he continues to bang out the top five finishes, and that's how he wins championships. He knows that. He knows that that's what he has to do, and he knows that he's got to finish in the top five just about every night in order to win the championship.
But after the races at Volusia and at Lincoln Speedway last weekend, he seemed like he was just a little bit behind Gravel and Macedo.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped up probably his best run last night, I would say. Has he reemerged? We'll see how he does at Magnolia Motor Speedway tonight and moving forward there at Devil's Bowl next weekend. I think over the next 3 or 4 weeks, especially when they have these kind of these races coming up here shortly close to where we are right now, US 36 and 81 Speedway. You got Knoxville coming up in late April, I-55 Federated Auto Parts Speedway. I think when you get through the month of April, we're really going to see over the example of races that we've seen so far and will see through the month of April, just where all these guys stack up right now. But
yep.
Donnie Schatz still seems to me that he's going to have to be a lot more consistent than he has been. Yeah, there's been times where he's run up front and had a chance to win some races, but the consistency just hadn't seemed to be
never
there.
Never underestimate Donnie Schatz, Kirk. Never underestimate him. I would never do that.
Can he win a championship again? I think so.
I think he
can. Is he more of a favorite than Gravel, Macedo, Sweet? I don't think so.
I think Brad Sweet and Carson Macedo are the two favorite guys to win the championship this year. Would you agree with that?
Gravel, Macedo, and Sweet.
Sweet.
Are the three guys in my view.
Right.
We'll see how it goes. Like I say, we need a few more weeks to really test this thing out and get us through Knoxville in late April, and then we'll see where we're all at.
Yeah. Can Buddy Kofoid win the championship, you think?
I don't think he's running all the races. I don't think they're planning on running all the races. But, you know, you brought this up before. If you're running well, you got six top tens, six races, and you're running up, you're challenging for the points, that makes your decision a little bit harder to say, hey, you know, I don't.
He's currently fifth in points.
Yeah.
Right now.
When you're running that well in points, you run all the races so far, you planned on not running all the races, you take a look at that and change your mind?
Yeah.
I don't know. That you've got a certain budget lined up of what you want to spend for the whole
tour.
Was
he planning on running the full midget deal?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No. He had the, you know, the Leighton Crouch team that he drives for, just they didn't put out the budget to plan on running the whole season.
Right.
But when you're fifth in points and you run as well as he has in the first six races,
that dangles
you,
the
you
carrot.
Reevaluate that decision.
Right, yeah, no doubt about it.
It makes it hard.
What about Sheldon Hodenshield? Do you think he can win the championship?
He's a guy that's
peaks and valleys.
He's ran well in a lot of races, but consistency is the key for Sheldon. And You know, throughout his seasons in the world of outlaws, he's not really presented that type of consistency over the long haul yet. Can he do it? Yeah, I mean, they got a fast enough race car to do
right.
it. You know, with Ricky Stenhouse and that team. Great sponsorship from NOS Energy.
You know who I'm a little disappointed in right now? Out of all the drivers that I sit there and I look at right now, Giovanni Selzy, he's currently 12th in points. And, you know, he runs up front quite a bit. And it's a little surprising to see him back there in 12th in points right now.
Well, he's just posting those solid, right. consistent finishes. And Gio is running the whole season this year, right?
Right, he is. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, it's, you know, there's some new racetracks on the series this year. Last night, I think it's the first time they were at Talladega Short Track, the first time in, what, 12 years?
Right.
So, and Magnolia, Mississippi, I think's first time. So it's how these guys do at these racetracks they've never been to before. And with this new tire, you know, a lot of the notes that a lot of these guys had at the various racetracks, you throw that out the window. You got to pretty much dial it in. And I don't know if you agree with me, but this is still a people business. If you got a great crew chief, great driver, but you still have to have guys working on these race cars that know what they're doing, know how to set them up.
Well, it was a bummer to see Williams Grove and Port Royal get rained out last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the one night in at Lincoln Speedway.
Yeah.
Which that turned out
Lincoln
to be a
got in.
Show. Yeah. Rico ended up picking up the victory.
Right. Devin Borden did pretty good there as well.
Finished third.
Third.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Devin Borden, I think is, I would call him a PA driver now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's full-fledged posse driver.
Right.
Originally from the Pacific Northwest, moved out to Pennsylvania here several years ago, and
you know
he's
what,
he's made himself a home out there.
You know what was funny, Kirk, is when we went out there to run with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, Devin Borden, when we got there, he ended up getting a ride while he was out there, and he stayed out there. And he never came back. He's a PA guy now.
Even though he's not from PA.
Even though he's not from PA, he is a PA driver.
You'd have to say Devin Borden is a full-fledged member of the posse. Now.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Hmm. So, Kirk, last night, they got rained out there. The OCRS got rained out at Thunderbird Speedway last night.
Yeah, they're having a hard time getting shows in right now.
It's a tough time of year to get races in right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen marches that have been pretty nice in the past, others not so much. And it's not that it's been, you know, a lot of snow or really cold weather. It's just been rainy weather. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a lot of sunshine over this past month. So I'm thinking maybe the month of April, they'll pay us back with a nicer month to get a lot of these races in.
April's still shaky, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, you never know what you're going to get in the month of April. But
right.
We got a lot of sprint car races coming up here in the month of April. You look at that first weekend, Easter weekend, you've got U.S. 36 Raceway up here at Osborne on Friday night, April 7th. The following night, 81 Speedway. And then a few nights later on Tuesday, April 11th, is that High Limits race out here at Lakeside Speedway. So just need to get warmed up here just a little bit. I think we're getting close. I really do.
Yeah. Rico, when he won that race up there at Lincoln, he beat Brad Sweet. Again, Brad Sweet running consistently again, running second again.
I thought
Brad Sweet, is he at the best at running in the top five of anybody out there?
Yeah, well, he's best at finishing races.
Right.
I think there was only, what, two times last year where he had a problem. Flipped his car up at Houston Speedway one night, but they were able to get it back in the race where he could finish. But then he had some kind of a mechanical failure out in Williams Grove Speedway there towards the end of the season. That was the only night where he didn't finish. So it's breaking news when Brad Sweet does not finish
the race. Right.
At least qualify for the A main. You don't see him not qualifying for the A feature and have to run any provisionals. You know, he makes every A main. That's how you win championships.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, are we going to have Ryan Ragland join us?
Tom Barry Jr. We're going to run
that interview coming up.
We talked with Rookie of the Year candidate for the USMTS on Mostly Motorsports earlier this week, so hear a portion of that interview coming up.
All right. Well, it's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. It's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be right back with more Track Talk in a moment. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And we got a driver that is going to be running for Rookie of the Year, Kirk.
He did, and he won the season opener of the United States Modified Touring Series down at Rocket Raceway Park in Petty, Texas here a few weeks back. The other night at Humboldt, in the opening night for the King of America, he started back of the top 20, way back in the field, but he was able to get himself up to 15th place. You start way back, you're probably not going to get that great of a finish, but he did as good as he could, finished 15th the other night. Tom Barry Jr., originally from Oregon, makes his home now out in Iowa, and is the Rookie of the Year candidate, the United States Modified Touring Series. He was a guest on Mostly Motorsports last Monday, and here's a portion of that conversation.
Well, this is a big weekend for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, we have the King of America and the Battle at the Bull Ring combined at Humboldt Speedway this weekend. We start practicing Wednesday, and we race Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So it's a complete show for each division each night. There'll be qualifying and feature races each night, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Johnny, let's talk a little bit about the magnitude of this race. This is one of the biggest USMTS races on the schedule this year, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And the feedback that I get from the drivers, and of course, when I was racing, it's one of those you want to win.
Yeah.
You know, it puts you down in the record books of being the King of America, which is, you know, that's a great title for a race. And then, you know, for the B mods, the Battle at the Bull Ring's really challenging because you have all the different sanctioning bodies coming in to race at the battle. You know, you've got IMCA Northern Sport Mods, you've got USRA cars, you got WSOTA. They call them Midwest mods, but at the battle, they're classified as B mods.
Right.
And these guys come from all over the United States and Canada, and they want to see how they shake out, you know, compared to everybody else. So it's a real good, a proving place to kind of set the tone for the season. You know, if you roll out of Humboldt as the winner of the Battle of the Bull Ring, you know you're one of the top B-Mod teams in the country, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the format that's going into the King of America and the Battle of the Bull Ring this weekend. Kind of break it down a little bit for us, would you?
Okay. The King of America, the USMTS Modifieds, they will come in and run their group time trials. Then they line the heat races up with a, I believe it's a six car invert now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's heads up out of heat races to the features. With the Battle at the Bull Ring B mods, it'll be draw for your lineup position in the heat race and then straight passing points to line up the features.
Right.
And each show, each night is its own complete show. There's, you know, the payouts every night. You know, if you win Thursday night, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be in the feature Saturday. So everybody's got a good chance. Instead of doing it cumulative where we qualified Thursday and Friday and everything built towards Saturday, you know, this time of year with the weather and stuff, we just thought we would do a complete show each night and and they're their own entity, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to work out well.
Yeah, no doubt. Which I think most people would identify, and I know Trent Barry hates me when I say this, but when you look at modified racing, USMTS is basically the world of outlaws of modified racing. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. It's I feel like they've got the best modifieds on the planet that race with them every week, and with the points fund that Todd's put together, he has a loyal following of, I'm going to say there's 20 cars that made all the races last year. You know, I'm not sure about that, but I mean, as a promoter, it's nice that when you bring those guys in, you know you're going to get the who's who of modified racing, and, yeah, and there's going to be a bunch of them that can win the race.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Man, you've got just a wide variety of great modified drivers, and, you know, you talk about Jake Timm, Jason Hughes, Dan Ebert, Tom Barry. There's a lot of great drivers in this division here, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of established drivers that have been doing it a long time on the Touring Series. And then he's got a fresh group of young people that are coming in that are very competitive. And that mix is very exciting, you know, from a grandstand side. You know, you can always find somebody to cheer for.
Right. And if you're rooting for one of our local drivers, Darren Fuqua, he's pretty good as well, isn't he?
He's awesome at Humboldt. He's come close to winning the deal. I believe that he will win it. This could be the year, you know. As far as regional racers around here, you got Darren and Tanner Mullins, Tyler Davis, a whole host of them that I feel are good enough that could win the King of America.
Yeah. And a lot of people can watch it on dirt, racingdirt.com this weekend. It looks like you're hitting it out of the ballpark this weekend. It looks like you're going to have some warm weather this weekend. It looks like it's in your favor.
Yes, well, we think the weather's going to be good. We do have a slight chance of rain a couple mornings, but the accumulation is not very much at all. So we're very excited. You know, we moved it 1 week later this year, and, you know, hopefully we made a good decision and it works out better.
Right, right.
We do have, you know, ticket sales. We've got a lot of people calling about tickets. Our suites are sold out. We do have some reserved seatback seating left. No, everything's coming together well.
Yeah. And people can bring their RVs out there as well, too, right?
That is correct. We have primitive camping. We don't have any hookups.
Right.
We do have, in the pit area, the restrooms, the men and the ladies' restrooms both have a shower in them, which they're free to use. We have a nice campground that's adjacent to the pit area. It's inside the fence for the pit area. If all the occupants are buying pit passes, that's a great place to camp. Mm-hmm. If you're going into grandstands, we have limited camping on the very north side of the spectator parking, and then we have some more over on the east side of the property outside of the pit area. So, you know, usually we can get somebody, get them accommodated where they can enjoy themselves. We've got a band Friday night after the races. The Trevor Holman band will be playing. We're running two classes, so we should be able to get over fairly early where people can enjoy it. They can socialize and meet the drivers and hang out and just have a big party.
Let's talk a little bit about 81 Speedway. That place races totally different than it did before it had the wall, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That's another thing. You know, you love it when a plan comes together. But we did that, you know, after we purchased the facility, we sat down and talked about it and thought that that would help. We put the time in, built the wall and the catch fences and stuff, and I think it has definitely been an attribute to the racing. That and our track prep crew works really hard. We did buy some additional equipment, and, you know, just a combination of that has worked out real well.
Yeah. As a former driver, what do you bring to the table that that most people, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work out when a driver tries to become a promoter, but you've done a really exceptional job at doing it. Tell us your philosophy behind that, and coming from a driver to being a promoter, tell us your philosophy there a little bit.
Well, it's multifaceted for sure, but I guess to boil it down is I try to treat the racers and the fans how I would like to be treated as if I was in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, that also becomes a time sometimes that, you know, somebody's got to be in charge. And
right.
I try to make policy that is fair and it's uniform, you know, it's not, well, so-and-so, you treat this way or you treat this guy this way. You know, I just try to be uniform and treat everybody with the utmost respect. And so far, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, because, you know, I traveled up and down the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS. Well, it's not the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour anymore. It's the ASCS National Tour. And you guys are going to have them there in June, I believe, right?
Yes. They'll be at 81 Speedway in June. And they will also be at Humboldt Speedway, I believe it's June 16th. I should have had my schedule up here. That's a race that we just added. But
right.
We will have the ASCS there at both tracks, and they will be twice. The National Series will be at 81 twice.
Right. And you're also going to have the Extreme Outlaw Midgets there this year as well.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting. That is May 5th at Humboldt Speedway.
Right.
And we're also featuring Wingless Outlaw Sprint Cars with them, and then May 6th at 81 Speedway, and the Wingless Sprint Cars are running with them there also. So it's kind of an open wheel weekend for us. We've had the Wingless Sprint Car group there several years in a row, and they always put on a great job, you know, great racing.
Right.
And the Extreme Outlaw Midgets, I feel like that they've got the best midget show in the country. I'm really excited about having them.
Yeah, and you're also going to be running the Sooner Late Model Series there as well. Talk about late model racing at Humboldt.
Well, this year's the first year we're bringing the Sooners in to Humboldt. We've had a great relationship with them at 81. They always have good car count and put on good races, so we're really excited to bring them in at Humboldt. We do have a 30,000 win World Outlaw late model race at 81 Speedway in June. And, you know, late model racing strong. We're happy to have them guys.
Hey, Johnny, this time of the year holding a race, that's got to be a particular challenge in prepping a racetrack, which is a lot different than prepping a track in the middle of the season. You're just coming off a cold snap. And just what are the biggest challenges in late March of preparing as good a racetrack as you can possibly get it for this weekend's King of America?
It's a big challenge. And Ryan Whitworth's been working for a month and a half getting the track prepped. We generally try to be packed a little harder this time of year. That way, if we do get rains, they won't wipe the racetrack out and it get rough. Part of the problem is, I mean, like we had an enduro at 81 Speedway Saturday, and the water truck was freezing up because was so cold, you know. So there's those things that you got to contend with. If you do get a nice day where you can work and put water on and stuff, then you got to go back through and winterize all your equipment again at the end of the day,
right?
You know, because it'll be cold the next day. But no, it's you know, the main thing is probably try to get the racetracks a little harder so that If we do get moisture, that they don't tear up and get rough. And other than that, it's pretty much the same, just, a little colder weather.
Thanks so much for joining us on here. Is there anything that you need to add to this weekend and let everybody know what's going on out there this weekend?
No, this weather's going to be good. I hope that they can all make it out. They can check the schedule of events and get all the times and pricing and everything at HumboldtSpeedway.com. And, check out we've got a very aggressive schedule at 81 Speedway this year with two World Outlaw Sprint Car races, a World Outlaw Late Model race, ASCS National races.
Holy cow.
Check that out at 81speedway.com, and hopefully we'll see you at the races.
Hey, quickly about that World of Outlaws event coming up. That's huge for 81 Speedway.
Yes, we're very fortunate to have it. Thing just kind of fell in our lap when the family decided they wanted to move venues on that. We've been trying to work with the Outlaws and get a date, and it just all came together, and we've got the Jason Johnson Classic, and it's going to be a tremendous event.
That is track owner John Allen, the new owner down at Humboldt Speedway.
That was not Tom Berry Jr.
No, but we'll have Tom Berry Jr. some of that interview coming up in hour two exclusively on Racing Boys. Sorry about that. So, John Allen, we recorded that interview on Mostly Motorsports earlier in the week. So, obviously, there's been some developments since we taped that interview, ran it live on Mostly Motorsports. Last night's races rained out.
Right.
But they're a go today, and I'm looking at the forecast here today, Scott. Looks pretty good for today, so...
One show
today.
Might run down there and watch the show myself tonight.
Should be a great show tonight. So
yeah. All right.
We are coming back.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Track Talk. It's all brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. More right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in a moment. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joining us now on the show is our trusted pit reporter, Ryan Ragland, joins us now on the show. Ryan, how you doing?
Still drying out a little bit, but, yeah, ready to go for tonight.
How bad was it down there? Did it rain out? It looked pretty bad last night, the weather.
It was not a rain out. It was a mist and drizzle out. It never rained.
It just drizzled.
Yeah, it was that annoying hazy cloud. When I left my house to head down there, I really didn't hit anything till I got to about Iola, and it was just enough to where you need to have the intermittent wipers, and you could see off, you could see the mist and everything, and it was just a steady drizzle till probably 5:15 or so, and
yeah.
They had trucks on the track trying to pack it down, and they were going to make their decision at 6:30, and about 6:10 they decided they were going to go ahead and have the driver's meeting at 6:20. They were going to start hot laps at 6:30, and they no more and got B mods out there lined up ready to go to get on the track, and it just real lightly started to mist and drizzle again, and then little by little it just started getting, and it was just enough to prevent it to happen.
Right.
That was a problem because they pretty much had the track worked in. I don't know how much horsepower the track would have been able to take. It was just like a thin film over the whole deal, and it just took the whole night out.
Ryan, were you down there on night number one when Terry Phillips picked up the win?
No, I wasn't able to get down there for Thursday, and I was kind of upset about that. But, that was a lot of the talk going on around the pits yesterday.
Yeah, what's your feelings about Terry Phillips giving up late model racing?
Well, after watching the interview that Trent Berry did that you guys will have later on, I think it's going to be a good deal. It was obviously hard for him to let go of with what he's done, but, like he says in it, he's going to be able to center 100% on the modified, and, unless you can give 100%, to something, you can't do 50% on both and
right.
Feel like you're going to bit at your potential, and everyone knows Terry Phillips is if he's not doing well, he's not happy. So I think in the end it's going to be a good deal for him.
I think these new bloodline modifieds are going to be a pretty big deal for him, don't you think?
Well, you think about Phillips and, GRT is like synonymous for God knows how long.
Right.
And, it's not like this is a guy that's trying something different. I mean, Jason Hughes has his chassis and MB2 had theirs, but, with the Scots and Terry Phillips knows what he's doing. He's
no doubt.
He hasn't been in this for a while and not learned anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to put what he thinks is going to work and some ideas and stuff. And, if he gets it to work, it's going to be pretty good.
Ryan, we've got a stellar field of cars down there for the King of America this year. Ryan Gustin showed up the other night. He hadn't sat in a modified since last year, I think, at Fountain City. And he finished third. And Ricky Thornton Jr., I'm told, is supposed to show up down there tonight. And he's a former champion of this event. So we've got some big players showing up to this event.
Well, there's three things with Gustin you need to know. It's Gustin, Hughes, and Humboldt. What else is going to happen?
Right.
That's just a given. Phillips looking really good after Thursday. Thornton with a past champion, and he's always going to be racy. Darren Fuqua that you guys talked about with John Allen. I mean, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when that Fuqua is going to come up and win something. That's what makes this so good. You have so many top hitters that have the ability that, you're going to get to the point where you can put a blanket over 10, 15 cars and go, take your pick. You got a good shot. And if I had to pick one just from what we've seen so far, if I'm going to box something, I'm going to say, Phillips, Gustin, and possibly Thornton. You could add Fuqua in there. He's always dangerous. And that's what makes this time of year so fun at Humboldt.
And you can't count out Jason Hughes, who had a pretty solid effort the other night. He finished sixth, ended up second behind the winner, Terry Phillips. I thought there was a really good battle for second place the other night between Phillips, Gustin. Dan Ebert was in the mix. Those guys were having a pretty good go at it there for second.
Hughes was saying that Phillips said he kept feeling Hughes bumping him in the back on the starts, and Jason Hughes said, I wasn't going to get left from behind. He wasn't going to try to sneak something in on me. He wasn't going to get left behind. So that was pretty much why he was on Phillips's backside on the restarts. And, if you want to talk a veteran of Humboldt, you've got to look at Hughes. And don't forget Rodney Sanders. That guy's, he's a past champion too. So that's what I mean. There's so many guys, you can't just pick one. And with the new format of not having the accumulative points from Thursday and Friday going into Saturday, you still have to show up Friday, and you still have to, you have to do well in your points. You still have to do well in your heats, your qualifying and all that stuff to lead up to the feature. So you can't pick just one, but you could probably pick a couple, two or three, and be pretty close to what's going to happen.
And you can watch it all tonight on racingdirt.com, the USMTS King of America 7. Again, that's presented by Shocker Hitch. And the King of America race, Ryan, is maybe one of the biggest races for USMTS of the year, isn't it?
Well, NASCAR has Daytona, modifieds as, King of America. And, I mean, you try to think of a bad, fast, small track that's racy and is never boring, and that's Humboldt.
Yeah.
Hey, one other guy I wanted to mention that has showed up that's not run modifieds all that much lately, but he came from modifieds. He's run late models. He's won a late model. Johnny Scott was
right
in the field the other night. Looked like he was going to get a better finish than he had. Faded just a little bit towards the end, but he's probably going to be a player tonight as well.
Well, you take a look at all these rainouts that's happened. Davenport, that's why Gustin showed up, and Thornton's there, and more rainouts that Scott was going to be at, and that's why he showed up. This has done, all the other rainouts has done nothing but build this up and make it even that much bigger.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Ryan, we're in the final minute of the show here, and we want to have you on Monday to talk about King of America down there at Humboldt Speedway. It's going to be a great race tonight. I can't wait to watch it here on RacingDirt.com. You're going to be watching it tonight as well, Kirk, right?
Absolutely. What is that? Things get started, what, about 5 o'clock?
Six.
Six.
I think they start everything at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, about that.
I'm looking here at the schedule. Pits open at 1, racing at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Is the way they're going to go. So make sure you show up early.
All right. Good enough. Ryan, thank you for getting down there and reporting for us. We'll talk to you on Monday, okay?
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, guys.
All right, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Ragland, good guy.
We're going to run the Tom Barry Jr. interview in hour 2.
Right, no doubt.
So listen for that coming up. We'll also hear from Trenton Barry.
Hour number 2, you can watch it live on our Facebook page, Twitter, YouTube, racingboys.com. It's all live right on our RBN page. So thanks, everybody, for joining in. We appreciate it. For Deidre Ingram, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.